So we've got a long way to go, and we know we can match up with the best.
With the current climate, this is just the way you got to do things at times.
With the new concussion rules, I think some players wouldn't be telling them, though. There'd be players out there that are going, I'm not going to risk missing time.
When a guy remains at a club, then can be incredibly encouraging for the future.
We want to do our bit to ensure that the games go ahead.
We've been really inconsistent. Good football clubs and good football teams don't do that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all to the Inner Sanctum. Today we're heading to Arden Street to have a chat to Todd Goldstein very, very shortly. Just an update on the Coleraine racing today. Race 7, number 6. There's been a lot of scratchings since we spoke to Lindsay Whitey. $1.22 now. Strip back.
$1.22.
There's been a lot of scratchings. Five scratchings. $1.22. So we're going $1.22 into $2.30 or whatever it was, which I think is still $2.25. Whatever it is, it'll be a profit if we can land both of them. We'll see how we go. So that's what's happening at Coleraine. So 7-6-8-1 if you want to play that game. Todd Goldstein plays the AFL game, and he does it very, very well. And it's great to have him a part of our team on the Inner Sanctum for 2021. He's back with us. Hello, Todd.
Say, Hark, you didn't really feel me with a lot of confidence with that bet then, did you?
Well, I was a bit confused. The scratchings hurt me. Like, I've just been a bit rattled in the last 2.5 minutes. Just trying to work out.
It did seem that way.
Just... yeah, gamble responsibly, all that sort of stuff, Todd. 7-6-8-1 if you want to play at Coleraine today. Now, you were playing on the weekend in Tasmania against one of the best teams in football. I'm keen to get your take on what you thought about how your team matched up, because you've come so far, and we've talked about that through the journey in season 2021, but up against the best, you find out heaps more, I reckon. What did you learn from the game on the weekend against the Cats?
Well, I think the overall feeling coming out of the game was that of frustration. It felt like we had a lot of chances. I know, you know, look at the scoring shots and things like that, that it wasn't as close as it may have seemed, but felt like, especially in the first half, our turnovers were just killing us. And, you know, we're now feeling like we walk away from games understanding that we actually have a chance to win them and we're not just hoping to win them. I think that the feeling of frustration was massive after that game.
That's a good phase to be in, I suppose, that have a chance to win rather than just sort of going to not lose by too much. I mean, it's a different mindset, and I suppose there's an element of not, you know, it's a free swing, I suppose, to a degree, even though I'm not personally into that sort of philosophy. That it's a free swing because you're not expected to win. You've got one of the best teams, and you just go out there and do your thing. But you thought on the back of that performance and in review that the way you played and the system you put in place is good enough to match it when you get it right.
Absolutely, and you know, we felt like we definitely could have attacked the game offensively much better, and our skills really let us down at times. But you know, there are areas that we can tidy up pretty quickly. And I think overall we've been kicking the ball pretty well lately. So hopefully that was just a bit of an aberration, but it gives us great confidence going to the final 3 weeks.
How hard is it to play against Geelong, Todd, with the way that they are defensively? I guess we all get a bit frustrated at times with Geelong that they can be slow in offense, considering what they've got in offense, but defensively they're always really hard to play against.
Yeah, it was a really good lesson for the young boys about just what a professional defensive team plays like and how quick they are to react, to getting to the right spot, to really shutting down the space, and also then how you attack a team like that. So, you know, it was a great lesson to see how organised they are and something for us to sort of try to reach as we go along with our defensive systems.
So can you lose confidence really quickly, or do you sort of identify the fact that, well, it was Geelong, we've been moving the ball so well over the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks, that's not going to change the way that we play moving forward in the remaining few games?
Oh, from the first few meetings we've had this week, we definitely haven't lost confidence in that game. And I think we got a lot out of it, and that's sort of the attitude we've taken every week this year is, you know, we may not necessarily get the result we wanted, but we're taking a lot of learning down and we're training those things and we're becoming a better team from that. So, you know, I think if anything, it's going to increase our confidence and understand that we were pretty average with our skills on the day, but we were still only 20 points down and we were down by only a goal or two for a lot of that game and had our chances. I mean, Luke Davies-Uniacke had a chance to put us within a kick or within a couple of points at one stage in that last quarter. So, We did a lot of things right, despite the fact we still couldn't hit a kick.
That makes it hard when you can't hit a kick. It's a challenging game when you can't do that. But that's not a consistent theme with the Kangaroos this year, thankfully. In the build-up to it, Tony, obviously, felt a bit of drama going on at the Kangaroos last week. I mean, the whole Ben Cunnington situation caught a lot of us off, clearly off guard, and put us on our heels a bit with that situation that he's had to face in the last little bit. What was the mood like in the, at the footy club when you first learned about his problems?
Yeah, I think like everyone else, everyone was very, very shocked, and it all everyone's thoughts went straight to Ben, to Belinda, and the kids, and you know, hoping that they were all right. And, you know, we did a bit of work. We you know, we all sat down as a group and had a chat about it. And you know, the best thing we could do is go out and focus on doing our jobs and understand that the medical professionals are taking care of Ben and his family are taking care of Ben. So he'll want to see us play well, and then that was our focus. And you know, that was, you know, the message that we're sending for the next 3 weeks as well to Ben.
When did you learn about it?
It would have been probably an hour or two before it was released. We got the heads up about it. So yeah, it was very, very quick. None of us really saw it coming.
He's such a pivotal player, just the on-field stuff, a pivotal player for what you're hoping to achieve with the Kangaroos. But I imagine as a guy around the club and in the locker room and all that sort of stuff, he'd be a fairly important presence too to have around. I can't see him being the effervescent, bouncing off walls type, but just that sort of calm dude that's always there, just going about his business, but he's always there, and he won't be for a little while now.
Yeah, I think his on-field presence is much bigger than his off-field presence. In the change rooms, that's for sure. But you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we wish the family and Ben all the best, and we're hoping that they're going okay. But yeah, it is one of those things that where footy really takes a back seat, and you know, from my perspective, I don't think any of us really care about what we're missing on the footy field. We just want Ben to be all good and be back with us as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I'm sure that is the case. And you've been around a while. You've been a few rodeos, so you've got a fair bit more balance and perspective, I imagine, than some of the younger players who are just trying to forge their careers and headstrong into everything. Do they, those moments sort of shocking for them? Are they sort of eye-openers for them as well, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's probably a good message for everyone to understand that, you know, that you do need to make sure you're getting all your health checks done, and any reminder we get of that is really important. So I think that side of things is really important. But I think, you know, we sat down as a group and we went through in little groups about, you know, talking about what your first thoughts were and all that sort of stuff. So it was, you know, we handled the best we could psychologically, and I think it seemed like the group were handling it as well as you can. And obviously there's a lot of information that we don't have yet that we've just got to wait for. So, now, I think that's always hard when you've got that unknown, but you know, the whole group seems to be handling it as well as we can.
How much time, just on that sort of stuff, how much time is dedicated in the program to chatting in groups about things that aren't necessarily football-related, but just like relationship-based conversations or issues in outside the game that you perhaps need to talk about? Is there an allocated time for that per week, or is that just as you need to do?
Yeah, that sort of thing is not usually a formal setting. So, you know, you have care groups and you have different groups that look out for each other and have chats and check in and make sure your mate's doing all right. So we do that sort of for an informal situation. You know, it might be grabbing a coffee at takeaway coffee these days together, or it might just be, you know, if you get 5 minutes on your own in the locker room just to have a chat, things like that, you probably do a bit more of. And I think that's definitely, you know, I think it's an understanding that, you know, a really close group that genuinely cares about each other has the best opportunity to do really well. And I think that's what we find at the footy club, is that we don't need to sort of manufacture that as much, because it happens organically a lot.
So we get to round 21, Todd, and unfortunately, like last year, this year has been exhausting in a lot of ways because of COVID, and the year started so well, but obviously it's become what it's become. Are you COVID fatigued individually at the moment?
I think everyone to a point is, but I think we understand. I think once you sit back and understand the situation and how dire it could be, like it has been overseas, you sort of, I still feel a sense of that we're pretty lucky that we've got two footy seasons pretty much done and dusted now. We you know, our death rate and things like that aren't as high as a lot of other countries. So, you know, in the end, I sit back and just go, we're pretty lucky and, you know, we're going to get another footy season done.
So from the point of view of the team, as I said, round 21 with what's gone on, are you looking forward to the season ending, or because you're on this sort of upward trough at the moment or upward graph, that you kind of want to keep playing because you're seeing these improvements that are going to hold you in good stead for the future?
Yeah, well, I think we're definitely not just... I don't feel like we're wobbling to the line at this stage. I feel like we're... The training intensity, the standards that we're setting are still really high. So for us, we feel like we're trying to run through this finish line. And obviously, we'd love to keep playing and we'd love to be playing finals. But that's not going to happen this year. But I think... For us, you know, we'd be more happy with the season to continue because of how much we're learning from it and how much we're trying to set up our 2022. Because in the end, the biggest focus now is making sure that we're putting the right processes in place so that when round one 2022 comes, we're much more prepared than we were round one 2021.
Yes, Monday, actually. We spoke to... Gee, time goes quickly. We spoke to Majak Dore with his new book coming out. And it was quite a confronting conversation, but also quite a illuminating conversation as well when we talked about all that he has gone through. What was it like for you to live through that with Majak, particularly at the, I guess, the darker times of, as a teammate trying to support him and the people around him?
Yeah, it was you know, some of those times were some of the hardest I've had playing footy, I reckon, and just trying to understand how things deteriorated, you know, to some of us out of nowhere. Because he's obviously, anyone that knows Maj and has known Maj, generally when you're around him, he's happy, he's bubbly, he seems like things are all good. He looks like he's indestructible, and I think you almost sense that persona from him.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a challenge. And, you know, I think when the whole incident happened was incredibly scary, and I think it brought to light just how easily these things can be hidden and how easily they can slip. So, you know, I think it was another good reminder to all of us that the things we've got to do to make sure we're looking after each other, and that's why I think our footy club now is so much better at that, because I think we've seen how dire the situation can get, and, you know, none of us want to see one of our mates, one of our brothers go through that. So it's part of, I think, a long-lasting legacy on our footy club, and it looks like he's in a really good place that he can talk about these things, and hopefully that's also helping him to move forward with his life and enjoy his life with his son Hendrix.
Yes, yeah, it was a good chat. If you missed it, rsn.net.au, but certainly just what he said, fairly illuminating about the situation and that time for Madge. But as you say, Toddy's gone on to do really cool things and is having a great time at the D's at the moment. Now, you've got the Tigers coming up this week. One more. I got very concerned last week when I saw that Taron Thomas wasn't going to play. Obviously, Ben Cunnington wasn't playing. And then my man, Cam Zuha, wasn't playing either, Toddy. Are we getting a few back this week, or what's the go?
Well, I can tell you Ben's not going to play. I can give you the hot tip there.
It's $1.01, that one.
Well, you seem to like short odds.
That's nasty, but spot on.
But I think the other two, I think we've got our main training session today. So I think, especially with Taron, the protocols around concussion are so strict these days that it's really hard to make a call. Even, you know, what 2 days away from the game, it's really hard to make the call because it all depends on how he gets through main skills today and how he pulls up, I think. He seems like he's feeling really good, but these things, once you start training with a bit more intensity, can hold you up a little bit longer. So I think both of them will have to get through training, but they seem to be fairly hopeful and fairly confident that they'll be able to.
Righto. Well, we'll see what happens with that for the Kangaroos' perspective. Tell me about the relationship you've got with Jacob Edwards, who was the mid-season draft selection for the Kangas, the massive dude who's dominated the NAB League. I think he might have had a big game on the weekend too and kicked the match winner for the VFL team, if I'm not mistaken. Have you built up a bit of a relationship and rapport with him?
Look, it's been challenging at this point because he's only really coming to the footy club on school holidays.
That's difficult.
So he's only really had 3 full weeks and then a day here or there, and played a couple of games in the VFL now. So that's we haven't had a lot to do with him just yet, but it was really good to see him kick the sealer on the weekend to get a bit of confidence. And I think first of all I've learnt from him is he doesn't lack confidence in his abilities, and he's not going to take things too seriously. But you know, I think he's going to be a good player in the future. But you know, I think he's still got a fair bit of work to do, and he's got to get through his year 12 first, because I think that's smartly a priority of his.
Well, no, that's true. That's true. And how? Whitey talked before about COVID fatigue for you. What about just general fatigue? The game's getting pretty brutal to play, and we're seeing some of the challenges and the knocks that are going around these days, and the way that players are struggling to back up at times. How are you feeling physically?
The body's actually feeling pretty good. Obviously, we're 19 games in, so everyone's got soreness, everyone's got a few niggles and things like that. But overall, I'm feeling really good. For me, you feel much better when you're mentally going well, and I'm really enjoying playing footy. I'm really enjoying this group and what we're trying to achieve. So for me, that helps my body feel a lot better. Obviously, I know how to do the recovery things, and I do all that as best I can. But I think it's the mental side of things that this time of year is what makes your body feel better. Because when you're going to play finals, round 20, you're still feeling fine because you know you've got another month of footy hopefully left in you after the season. So, yeah. For me, it's all about when you're not going to play finals, it's how you're mentally feeling, and that sort of goes by how your body feels. So I'm feeling all right at the moment.
When was the last time North beat Richmond, do you know?
Off the top of my head, not maybe 2016.
Right.
Is that that game in the when they played in a fridge down at Hobart?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I think. Unfortunately, I was a late out, so I think I was on the plane on the way home. So I missed the.
Oh, right.
But that was one of the few games I haven't been too upset to miss, to be honest.
Yeah, that was a game where Richmond didn't thaw out until after half time. I don't think they scored early days. North Melbourne went right.
Yeah, no, we had a fairly good record for a little while there, but then they've obviously turned things around fairly well over the last 4 years.
You reckon? Well, little man at the back, Frankie at the Tory, 2011, 2016, you won by 70 points. That must have been, was that the fridge game, Whitey?
Yeah.
And then 2019, only a couple of years ago, you beat him by 37 points. I must admit, I'm a tad surprised by that. 37 points against the Tigers in 2019, that's peak period for the Tigers.
Nah, it's just this is what this North Melbourne Footy Club does.
Todd can't even remember the game, would appear.
He did lay a beautiful tackle, they tell me, in that day.
Hey, Todd.
Just the one, though, says the stat sheet.
Before we let you go, Todd, we get a lot of text messages coming in asking about Charlie Cobden?
What's his name?
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about him? Because I know a lot of North Melbourne fans are really excited about what he could potentially do. Will he get a look in before the end of the year?
Look, he's a really, really good kid, and he's working unbelievably hard. He's had a shocking run with injury. So, you know, I think it is they're just taking things really, really slowly with him. So will he get a look in? I'm not too sure because it all depends on what loads he's getting in these VFL games and things like that. But from what he's done I think he didn't play a game for 18 months or something along those lines. And to come out in a scratch match, kick four in the first half, I think, that he played. So it was not a bad start to his games at North Melbourne. So he's kicking goals each week now, which is really impressive. So for him, it's about making sure that his body is right. And if we can get him, I think the club would love to, but I think they prefer to try to set him up for 2022 and what's going to be best for that, rather than trying to rush him in, get him a game, and then have his body not quite ready for it. So that's the tough thing with Charlie, but he's definitely progressing really well. And I think he's confident enough to play a game. It's just whether the club's willing to put his body through that.
Well, he's got plenty of time up his sleeve. That's the beauty of it. And, yes, just caution is better than throwing to the wolves too early. For Charlie, your man Charlie Whitey, who we'll keep an eye on. Absolutely. Richmond and North Melbourne this weekend, MCG 435. Check your local guides for more details, and you'll see Todd Goldstein dominate at the G this weekend. All the best, mate. Nice to chat.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.